Lord, hear our prayers. We thank you for bringing us here together, Lord, for the joy in seeing each other and for the comfort that we find in each other. We ask you to give us tender and sensitive hearts so that when we meet people, we know if they need a hug, we know if they need just to be heard. We thank you for all those people who have been those things for us, who have been your ears and your hands and have shown us your way. We thank you for your Son who rose from the dead that we might live abundant, obedient, joyful lives. And we thank you for your Spirit who is with us always, teaching us, guiding us, comforting us, knitting us together. Hear now the names and needs of those that we love and our praises. Lord, we thank you that you hear the prayers of our lips, the cries of our hearts. We ask you to be with those today who are hungry, who are hurting, who are mourning, who are sick, who are just slap worn out. For those whose marriages are in trouble, for those who've never been married and long to be, for those looking for work, for those anxious about their jobs, for those facing foreclosure and other financial difficulties. Lord, especially we pray for those who are abused today. We ask you to be their comfort and their peace and their hope. Amen. Our scripture this morning is from John chapter 20. It begins on the evening of that first Easter. I'm beginning in verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said to them, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of anyone, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as the twin, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, the Sunday after Easter, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
What will be left when I've drawn my last breath, besides the folks I've met and the folks who've known me? Will I discover a soul-saving love, or just the dirt above and below me? I'm a doubting Thomas. I took a promise, but I do not feel safe. Oh, me of little faith, Sometimes I pray for a slap in the face, then I beg to be spared, 'cause I'm a coward. If there's a master of death, bet he's holding his breath, 'cause I should have blind and tell the deaf about his power. I'm a doubting Thomas, I can't keep my promises, 'cause I don't know what's safe. Oh, me of little faith. Can I be used to help others find truth, when I'm scared I'll find proof that it's a lie? Can I be led down a trail, dropping breadcrumbs to prove I'm not ready to die? Please give me time to decipher the signs. Please forgive me for time that I've wasted. I'm a doubting Thomas, I'll take your promise, though I know nothing's safe. Oh, me of little faith. Oh, me of little faith.
Thank you, Robert. Would you pray with me, please? Oh, we of little faith, Lord, come to us again. Amen. At my house, Easter is over. The baskets are out of sight. The little bunny and chick salt and pepper shakers are put away for another year. The ham is history. The candy's gone, all the best candy anyway. And surely the last of that crazy fake Easter grass has finally been picked up or eaten by the cat. At least I hope there is no more of that stuff in my house, because at my house, Easter is over. But in the church, Easter is never over. Every Sunday as we gather for worship, we are acknowledging that we are an Easter people. Easter, the resurrection of Jesus, defines who we are, who we worship, and where all of our deepest hopes and dreams lie. And between last week, Easter Sunday, and 50 days later on the day we in the church call Pentecost, the church reads and remembers and celebrates the resurrection of Jesus and all of those appearances that Jesus made after his resurrection. Today's reading includes some of those appearances. But even people who have never been to church during this season, and people who have never had the Easter stories read to them, even most of those people still know what a doubting Thomas is. It's someone who's habitually a doubter, one who won't believe it until he sees it. I'm thinking that maybe Thomas was from the Missouri part of Galilee, the show me part. Because Thomas wasn't going to believe Jesus was alive until he saw Jesus with his own two eyes and touched Jesus with his own two hands. That Thomas kind of gets a bum rap for holding out like this has always confused me a little bit. Because if we read all of the story in John 20, we'll see that after Jesus appeared to Mary of Magdala, he told her to go tell the disciples that he was alive. But on the evening of Easter, after they had heard this, the disciples are still locked behind closed doors. I don't know what Mary's words meant to them, but I don't think there's a lot of faith there at that point. Now, I don't blame the disciples for being afraid. My point is simply that the disciples gathered there behind that locked door probably didn't believe Jesus was alive either. And by the time they are the ones finally telling Thomas that they had seen the Lord, they had already seen Jesus' wounds as well. Thomas was only asking for the same proof the other disciples had already had themselves. Now, we don't know why Thomas wasn't with the other disciples that evening, that Easter evening when Jesus first appeared to them. I heard an elaborate sermon once about how we better be where we're supposed to be when we're supposed to be there, lest we, like Thomas, miss the Lord's appearing. The sermon said, be in church, or you might miss it like Thomas did when Jesus shows up. And I've heard some really inspiring sermons about Thomas being the only disciple brave enough to be out that Easter evening while the other disciples are hunkered in. It made me think of the Sunday evening grocery run we all have to make to get ready for work on Monday. We need a box of cereal and some Pop-Tarts. And the only one of the disciples who's willing and brave enough to go do it is Thomas. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us why Thomas wasn't there. The Bible just says he wasn't. And that Thomas didn't believe the disciples when he told them that they had seen the Lord. Now, I'm not sure why Thomas is the only one called a doubter when the other disciples have been hiding behind locked doors for over a week themselves. I feel sorry for Thomas, doomed forever to be known by maybe the dumbest thing he's ever done. Like the guy who said, hey, Bubba, watch this. For the rest of his days, somebody's always going to be calling Thomas a doubter. It's a shame, really. We don't know much else about Thomas. In John chapter 11, Jesus is preparing to return to Bethany, we find out later, to raise Lazarus. And we see Thomas committing to follow on that trip, even if it means his death. Thomas says, let us go that we may die with Jesus. So in that story, Thomas is a loyal, if pessimistic, friend and follower of Jesus, kind of an Eeyore follower of Jesus. When we see Thomas again in John 14 at the Last Supper, Jesus says he's going to prepare a place for us. And Jesus says, you know the place where I am going. I have always admired Thomas in this story because he seems to say what everyone else is thinking. Thomas says plainly, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we possibly know the way? If Thomas had never asked that question, would we ever have heard Jesus' stunning reply? I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. In the story of that Last Supper, I'm grateful that Thomas spoke up and spoke out and said, Jesus, we're not getting this. We're going to have a little more information. So I'm just going to speak up and speak out myself. I don't blame Thomas for doubting the word of the other disciples. They were still hiding behind locked doors a week later. Besides, how many dead men have you seen after their funeral? If your Sunday school class or small group told me that you had seen Bear Bryant last week, I am not going to believe you until I see him with my own two eyes and with my own two hands touch his houndstooth hat. And even then, I doubt I'd believe. So I'm grateful for Thomas's doubts. I'm grateful he spoke up, and I'm grateful that Thomas took my place in the Scriptures, asking what we would all one day ask, for proof, for some evidence that Jesus really is alive and working in our lives. Thomas's story makes room for mine, and maybe yours, as we seek to encounter this holy God. Because at the heart of the story is not Thomas's doubt, but Jesus' generous offer of himself to Thomas. Thomas said, I'm not going to believe it unless I see it. And Jesus never condemns Thomas for that. Instead, Jesus gives Thomas what he needs for faith. Jesus came to that Thomas that Sunday after Easter apparently just for Thomas. If he came, if Jesus showed up for any other reason that night, the Scripture doesn't say it. As far as I can tell, Jesus came just so Thomas would believe. Thomas's doubt, Thomas's faith was that important to Jesus. So are yours. God is far more anxious to reveal Himself to us than we ever will be to find Him. And from the Thomas story, we learn that Jesus knows our doubts. Jesus wants us to believe. Jesus invites us to get close enough to Him to touch Him. And God in Jesus comes to us wherever we may try to hide ourselves. Jesus walked through a closed, locked door. He refused to let a deadbolt or a chain keep Him away from this disciple who doubted. And Jesus will do that for us, too. When doubt crowds out our hope, Jesus still comes to us where we are, even if that is out on the far edge of a faith that has forgotten how to believe. Jesus comes again and again to these scared, confused disciples, and Jesus comes to us over and over, to all of us who long to see Him. And with Jesus, seeing really is believing. And once Thomas has seen, he articulates the clearest confession of faith in the Gospels other than those on the lips of Jesus. Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." The Gospel of John begins with this bold declaration that Jesus is in fact God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And here, the Gospel of John ends with this doubting disciple proclaiming the very same thing, "My Lord and my God." The story of Thomas is artfully placed as a transition between those disciples who were the last physically to be able to touch and see Jesus and all the rest of us who are left to come after. And Jesus must have realized this because in verse 29, He gives us a beatitude that most of us overlook when we're studying those in Matthew. Jesus said to Thomas, "Because you have seen Me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Others will follow Thomas and the disciples. Others will wonder and question and doubt. And to those others, Jesus continues to come, bringing what we need to stop doubting and believe. Jesus' love for His own didn't end when He ascended to heaven. He knew we'd be here today. He knew we'd have doubts. And I think He left this story as a promise and a pledge that we too can and will experience the grace of God in Jesus Christ. Now, we'll all experience it in a different way. Some of us will come to know God and believe that Jesus is alive just because of the Scriptures we read. That was my experience. That's how I know that Jesus is alive. Because Jesus came to this doubting college student one night as I was reading the Gospel of Matthew. As I was wondering if it was true. As I was wondering if I could know Jesus the way they did. Now, some of you will know God and believe that Jesus is alive because you have been patiently, tenderly loved into the kingdom by other followers of Jesus. Some of us will know that Jesus is alive by the strength He provides, or the healing He brings, or the forgiveness He works in our hearts. Or maybe today you know Jesus is alive because today you are finally sober, or today you are finally faithful, or because today your family is finally free of a cycle of abuse that you knew. Or maybe because you feel alive and hopeful with a sense of God's guiding in your life. But every one of us who knows God and believes that Jesus is alive has gotten there because Jesus showed up in our lives and brought what we needed to change our doubt into faith. And if you haven't had an experience like that, I wonder, what do you need to believe? Can you name it like Thomas did? I bet if you name it, Jesus will bring it. What is your story? How do you know that Jesus is alive?
How do I know?
I know because I was restless.
How do I know? Because I was wild.
Because I was addicted.
I was lost.
Because I was empty.
I know because I was living behind a mask.
How do I know Jesus is alive?
Because he lives in me.
Jesus did what no one else could do for me.
He took the punishment
for my failures,
my wrong decisions,
my selfishness,
my pride,
and my sin.
He was beaten.
He was mocked.
He was tortured.
Crucified.
And buried for me.
But on the third day,
he did exactly what
he said he would do.
Jesus rose up
and walked right out of the tomb.
And in the summer of 1985,
July of 2007,
February 2005,
June 2003,
and in August 1995,
he walked into my life.
And I've never been the same since.
Now I am truly living.
Now I am sober.
I am at peace.
I am fulfilled.
Now I am free.
Now I'm found.
My God.
My Savior.
My best friend.
My Lord.
My Jesus.
Is alive.
The tomb may be empty,
but my heart is full.
This week, I would love to hear your story of how you came to believe in Jesus, or I would love to talk to you about your doubts. I pray that this week you go and live out your faith, and where you have doubts, I think Jesus will bring you what you need to give you faith. Go in the name of the God we love as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.